Grace, mercy, and peace be unto you from God, our Father, and from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Text for our meditation for this morning is a gospel reading, the transfiguration story of Jesus from Matthew chapter 17. I share with you just the last verse of that reading again. And when they were coming down from the mountain, Jesus commanded them, saying, "Tell no one the sight until the Son of Man has been raised from the dead." In the name of Jesus Christ, dear friends, the family was gathered with Grandma in the nursing home. And the occasion was that she was spending the last few moments here on earth before she would be transported into the glory of our God in heaven. After she had passed, the little granddaughter that was there noticed that her grandma's hand was gripping tightly to a necklace that was around her neck. And she was still holding on to it even after she was gone. The little granddaughter asked her father, "Dad, why is grandma holding on to that so tightly?" Her father said, "Oh, granddad gave her that necklace on their first Christmas. That cross with the one little diamond speck in it, because that's all he could afford. But when he gave it to her, he said, 'Never, ever let go of your faith in the Lord Jesus Christ.' And I can tell you that she never did. She didn't let go of that 20-year-old man who gave her that cross either. As we travel through our lives, we hang on to things. Things that become important and special to us. We need such comfort places, comfort things in life, because life often can be full of twists and turns and pain and sadness that all add up to make it feel like they're going to just rip our souls right out from within us. The best thing that we can cling to in the midst of all of that in our life is the object of our faith, the Lord Jesus Christ, who gave his life for us so that we can be his not just today, but forever. And certainly the transfiguration account in the Gospels is a story that makes us think about forever. And lets our imaginations run wild with all kinds of thoughts about what that will be like when we are finally in that glory. We are ready for that, for our sins are washed away. And the knowledge of being perfectly prepared to enter into that glory is our constant. No matter how good or how poorly a day might go by, we have the constant of God's grace that is the anchor for our souls. And we cling to that, no matter what. Our text begins this morning with the words, 6 days later, after 6 days. I hope you are enough of a student of God's Word that such words in God's Word sort of prick your imagination a little bit and say, after 6 days, after what? What is that? All we need to do is turn back to the end of chapter 16 in the Gospel of Matthew, and we find the account that Jesus had been telling his disciples about the fact that he was going to be handed over to his enemies, he was going to suffer, he was going to die, and then on the third day he was going to rise again from the dead. Peter heard all of that, and we remember the story. Peter rebuked Jesus. He was unhappy hearing Jesus talk that way. And that's when Jesus shared those very famous words with Peter, "Get behind me, Satan." And then Jesus had shared with all of his disciples when he said, "Whoever wants to be my disciple must deny himself and take up his cross and follow after me." Their path, our path, as Jesus' disciples, will always go through the cross. For that's where Jesus chose to be, so that he could be our Savior. It was 6 days later, after all of that encounter, when this whole transfiguration account took place. You know, as we go through our lives, the challenge of discipleship, the carrying of the cross, is how Jesus described it, this sufferings, the difficulties that we have. He can't just wipe all of that away by simply saying, oh, don't worry about it, it's not that big of a deal. Because it is a big deal. The reality of the difficulty of discipleship is huge. Instead, Jesus took his three closest disciples, Peter, James, and John, with him up on that high mountain so that they could be by themselves. And there his appearance was, we use the word transfigured. Greek word really is metamorphosized. I like that one better. It's more fun to say. Metamorphosized. Meta means changed, and morph means form. Changed in form. Changed in form right in front of them. That's his appearance. Matthew describes that Jesus' face was shining like the sun. His clothes became as bright as the light. And suddenly there's Moses and Elijah, the two representative prophets of all of the prophets of the Old Testament, who for 1,000 years had been predicting that Jesus was going to come into the world. And now they are right there with him. Confirmation that everything they had been writing about for all those years was pointing at Jesus. And then the cloud cast its shadow over them, a cloud of glory casting a shadow over them. And the Heavenly Father's voice is heard from within that cloud saying, this is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. Listen to him. And falling on their faces in great fear, kind of like the King James translation of that, they were sore afraid. They fell to the ground, overwhelmed by all of that glory. And probably with a tap on the shoulder and a voice of Jesus, they looked up and saw that as quickly as it had all started, it was all past. Now Jesus looked like that humble man again that they had been following for 3 years. Despite the fact that the image was gone, it had been seared upon their souls. Sort of like a brand upon a cattle. Just seared upon them. It was never going to go away. They were going to have to come back down off that mountain. And coming down from the mountain meant that they were going to have to face all of those things that Jesus said were going to happen. All of those horrible things that they didn't want to hear about. The betrayal, the handing over, the suffering, the death and the cross. Having to wait 3 long days until he would rise up again from the dead. All of that was going to be really hard for them. Really, really hard for the disciples. But all the while they went through that difficulty of discipleship, they would go through knowing who Jesus really was. He showed them their glory, his glory. And no matter how dark the days might get, no matter how bruised and beaten they might be, no matter how guilty they might feel of having run away from him in the Garden of Gethsemane, no matter how guilty Peter might have felt for denying Jesus 3 times in the courtyard, no matter how guilty they probably felt through those 3 days of despair between Good Friday and Easter morning, down deep in the very presence of their souls was that bright light shining of what they had seen. That would remind them all, Peter, James, and John, that Jesus truly was the Son of God. It should be no surprise to us that 2 out of those 3 disciples then are the ones who are the first to run to the tomb on Easter morning. When the message of the women got back and said, he's alive. It was Peter and it was John who ran to the tomb. For they were the ones who had seen that blessed vision. Blessed by the gift. Prepared for the challenge that was in front of them. Going through all of that and surviving it. Not by their strength. Not by their will. But by the one who had given them the gift of that vision so that they could be strong. Jesus had given them this vision for that particular purpose, to prepare them for what they would experience. That's why while they're walking down from the mountain, Jesus says, don't tell anyone about this until after the Son of Man has been raised. Why? Because this wasn't about spectacle, and it wasn't for shock and awe. It was for God's grace purpose of never letting these disciples ever forget who Jesus was. So that they could live out their calling. That transfiguration experience was, if you will, their necklace that they could cling tightly to during all the dark days that they had to travel. So this morning we wrap up our series, this Epiphany series that has guided us for the last 2 months, understanding our calling. And this morning, as we consider that, do we need a little shot in the arm? A little extra encouragement? A little hope that eventually winter will be over? We know that the Lord wants us to be bold in service and bold in witness in our life. And yet we have often seen throughout the texts of the last 2 months that living out that calling of a disciple of the Lord Jesus Christ will be a difficult one, because that bold witness of Jesus Christ we're sharing, we are sharing in a world that doesn't really want to hear about Jesus. That means rejection, maybe even persecution. And that can get discouraging. Being a disciple of Jesus means that we will always wear around right on us a bullseye for satanic attack, as the devil looks to use all of the things of life, all the experiences and the difficulties and the tragedies of life, in order to just rip at our souls, to discourage us so that we will give up on the Lord. We suffer and we hurt, and all of those things can't be quickly wiped away by saying, now it'll be okay. Instead, through the transfiguration account, we understand that shining through all of that deep darkness is the bright light of God's testimony that reminds us that beyond all of the challenges that we could ever face, beyond all the hurts, beyond all the disappointments, beyond all the darkness that we can cause with our own sin, and beyond all the darkness that we experience because of others sinning against us, beyond all of that lies the hope and the promise that the dark days of Jesus, he lived out not just for the sake of darkness, but he lived through those dark days, not as his destination, but as a journey, so that having traveled through the darkness of all of that suffering, that he might rise again in the victory of his resurrection and hold out to us the promise of our glory. The joyful anticipation of experiencing the presence of the glory of the Heavenly Father, to do what those elders did with Moses on the mountain, to be in the presence of the glory of God and live to tell about it. For because Jesus was obedient to the cross, now the Father can look at us and say about us what he said about his own Son on Transfiguration Day. This is my beloved child, in whom I have taken great pleasure. And that's our focus. It is that focus of future glory that draws us forward in life. It's our privilege to share that with one another, reminding each other, relentlessly grabbing each other in the midst of the deepest, darkest times of life and saying, remember where God is leading us forward. God gave us a glimpse of that at Transfiguration so that we might know that today is not the destination, but the glory in his presence is. As we head into Lent this week, the more solemn observance, Lent itself isn't an end unto itself. We haven't succeeded in Lent if we've made everybody feel really bad. Make them walk around looking like they've eaten sour lemons. But Lent is just a journey through which we must pass, so that when we shout out our hallelujahs on Easter morning, even all of the brightness of that worship on that day is only a dim foretaste of the celebration that will be ours when we join with Moses and Elijah and Peter and James and John, and while we're at it, with all of our loved ones who have lived in the faith, who are now with the Lord, when we join with all of them in celebrating the glorious light of Jesus our Savior. And this time, unlike on Transfiguration Mountain, this time we'll get to stay there. Amen. And now may the peace of God, which surpasses all human understanding, may it guard and keep our hearts and our minds through faith in Christ Jesus. Amen.